This is Amend and Progress, your go-to podcast from Vidori for all things promotional material review. Get ready for actionable insights, valuable perspectives, and best practices to elevate your workflow and team morale.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Amend and Progress, Vidori's podcast about the material review process. I'm your host, Annalise, and today we're going to be talking about system ownership, what this looks like at different organizations, best practices for those of you who are system owners and want to improve this experience at your organization, and much more. I'm joined by two experts in the space for the conversation today, one being Ann Swearingen, CEO of Six Tangerines Consulting, and Lindsay McGarrah, a customer success manager at Vidori. And Lindsay, welcome to Amend and Progress.
Good to be here.
It's a Tuesday morning. We've got our morning beverages. And actually, I'm curious to hear from both of you, you know, what's in the cup on the desk this morning? What's your morning beverage of choice?
I'd love for it to be a little bit leaded, but it's not. It's coffee. coffee with cream, no sugar.
Okay. Respect. Love it. That's mine as well. Coffee, cream, no sugar. Lindsay, what about you?
Coffee straight up, no cream,
black
no sugar.
Coffee.
Yeah. Ooh, you're brave. You're brave.
Are you like a light roast or a dark roast person?
I'm like a medium.
Medium. Roast. I love it. Right in the middle. Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Exactly. Goldilocks.
Well, I'm so excited to have both of you on today to talk about this meaty topic of system ownership. I think we'll do our best to cover ground today. Certainly it could be an hours long conversation, but I think you both have really interesting perspectives to bring to the table. And we will get to that in just a second, but I wanted to start with a little bit, couple more rapid fire getting to know your questions if you're both open to it.
Sure.
Okay. Let's start with current hobbies. Anne, what's your current hobby these days?
In the winter, I curl. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, I golf.
You curl. I love it. So are you the one that sends it or that directs it?
Well, both.
Okay.
We like to say we throw rocks in houses because it's a curling pun, because the rocks are about 40 pounds and then where you're throwing it is called a house.
Okay.
So,
I love it.
I've been doing more of the what's called skipping, which is trying to figure out how to clear out the other team's rocks.
Love it. Oh my gosh, how fun. And how long have you been doing that?
Only a year. Super fun though.
Okay.
It's like awesome. Bowling and checkers on ice.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Okay, Lindsay, what about you?
Boring answer, but traveling. Love to get out. And particularly just try local foods. I'm a foodie, so... Always willing to sample and see what's the best where we're going. So.
I love it. Any like, what's your short list for destinations in the next few years?
We just got back from Key West, which I love it there. Key lime pie. I mean, you can't go wrong
the
with
best.
That. It's so good.
Yes.
Yeah, we have some like internal trips planned in the U.S. So we're going to the Grand Canyon, which I've never been to. I'm super excited
beautiful.
About that.
Very cool.
Trip to Boston. And then we're also traveling across the pond and going to Europe late next year. So, yeah.
Making your hobby a reality. I love it.
You'll love the Grand Canyon. Beautiful.
Yes.
I feel like it's a must do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And I love that instead of cake at my wedding, we had key lime pie. So I am a huge key lime pie person.
Nice.
Love it. Can eat it every day. So
have you been to Key West?
No, but obviously I need to go to check out, eat as much key lime pie as I possibly can.
Yes. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
For me, that's not a problem. I'd be a huge sweet tooth. Okay, final getting to know you question. And Anne, we'll start with you. What's one productivity hack or best practice you use in your daily life?
I work really hard to not check email for the first hour of the day because it derails me.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather take that hour and not open up my email.
Yep.
Knowing that, you know, like the night before I've checked and I don't have a meeting at that time. But setting aside the first hour of the morning to get something done off my to-do list, just knocking it out before I totally get distracted, because email is like a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a great one. Okay, Lindsay, what about you?
I promise that is the exact same thing I was going to say. Said a little bit differently, not just email, but I like to write down my top 1 to 3 things. And that's the first thing I start with, and then carry on with the Slack messages or the emails. But I agree. It makes you feel productive. At least if the day goes crazy, I know I accomplished those 1 to 3 things that I wanted to get done and off my plate. So,
yep. I love it. I love that you both had similar ones. That's fantastic. On the same page already, even before we get into the conversation today, couldn't ask for better. Okay, so like I said, system ownership, we could take this in a lot of different directions, and curious just to see sort of where our conversation goes today. But let's maybe start by just painting the picture of the system owner. Who is this person? What are they responsible for? What have you seen in your experience in industry or with our customers, Lindsay? Just help me paint the system owner picture. Who is this person?
Yeah, from my perspective as the customer success manager, that system owner is really my partner. We are managing the system, making sure the system is staying up to date and aligning with their business processes and their broad business needs and goals. Really their system champion. I've heard that term be used before, and I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, it gets chaos with the organization. They just blow it up, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that folks need to really think about is who owns systems at their organization? Because sometimes it's IT. Sometimes the system champion that would be working with Lindsay is also the system owner, but not all the time, right? And then there's system owner, and then there's process owner. And so how do you divide that up? Like, what's the racy? Who gets to make decisions? Because the platform touches many different therapeutic areas, right? So is regulatory the system owner? Is it medical? Is it marketing? Is it IT? And how do you kind of get through that internal battle? Because when you want to make changes, there's a lot of alignment that has to happen. So internally, it can be very muddy.
Is it ever shared, or do we typically see one person own it?
You'll end up, because there's like spots for one name, there'll be a point person, but usually in some organizations, you may see that there's a subject matter expert from each of the representative groups. So it's like a system committee, but that one person is the point person that would be working with Lindsay. So that, you know, Lindsay's like, hey, we need to roll out something else. Or I go to her to say, hey, the team's come up with a lot of changes. You know, we have some things to do. But Lindsay, what's your sense on that?
No, I think that's a great way to put it. As you said, there's that one person that's on the wraps for owning it, but typically they're surrounded at their organization by a lot of other players in the field, which to your point can get muddy and can get messy when decisions need to be made or there's challenges or roadblocks. I completely agree. I see a wide variety of that shape and form among my customers.
So even if it is committee based, there's still this liaison or this one point person that ultimately works with other departments as needed, makes key decisions, et cetera. It sounds like it's a critical component, because otherwise we could get into a death by committee situation where it's just hard to make any movement. So that makes total sense. And I want to go back to your previous point on that often it's IT who is the system owner, but they're not going to be the process owner or have process context. Maybe they do, but they're not in the weeds of it, right, on a day-to-day basis. How then do sort of the process owners, what's like a best practice when you do have the system ownership that sits outside of those who are in the material review process day-to-day? What does this look like? What does good look like?
Well, a couple things just, you know, to add a bit more context, right? So in some organizations, you can't move without getting approval from IT. And so you're at the mercy of just their resources, right? The team wants to move forward, wants to implement a system, but IT's like, yeah, take a number, because we have a quality management system update or we have something else that we got to do, and you're low on the totem pole. Right? Because the system doesn't impact the business, like everything in the business, right? They may be doing a CRM, like a customer resource management system update. And so it's like, take a number. The other piece is that they have their own rules, I guess, IT, in regards to validation and things mm-hmm. like that. So you need to be partnered very closely with them, and they need to be part of the team that implements the system, because unless you are a jack of all trades and know IT and know all the validation and all the hoops that you need to do and the system to document it in internally to get it through, you're never going to move forward with it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the process owner makes sure that the system does the process that you need it to do, right? Like, how many checks and balances do you want? What metrics do you want? You know, things like that. But when a new product comes out, or, you know, you need to change the workflow for whatever reason, you got to go and talk to your friendly neighborhood IT team to say, hey, we have a process change that impacts the system and we have to add these things. And they're like, well, what is it? And do we have to revalidate? And then, so what you think is super easy is going to be, could be a 3-month process all of a sudden. But I mean, Lindsay, I'm sure has got lots of perspectives on that too.
Yeah. Lindsay, what would you add? I know we even tell people to bring IT to the table, correct? Like, talk to me more about how we sort of work on this with our customers.
Yeah, I'd say it's tricky. IT often has limited resources and they have lots of other projects going on, as Anne said. So it's not always the first on their list when we come knocking. So I think it's important to have that good connection, that foundation to begin with, have that partnership. As Anne said, make them your friends, because you will need them down the road. And it's so much better to have them already involved in the conversation. But it can get tangled up in that red tape. It can get challenging. There's a lot that goes into it from the IT side and standpoint that can be just, quite frank, frustrating as a system owner and as a system admin. When you are trying to make changes and essentially just make the system align with your business processes. But if that's considered a change, then there's steps that need to be taken from the IT standpoint, which everyone's just trying to do their job, of course, at the end of the day. So I think it's important to keep them involved from the very beginning, and then don't lose sight of your IT partners. Keep that relationship and that foundation strong. It'll help serve you in the long run.
And I mean, you'll be able to speak to this better than I will, Lindsay, but also lean on your software vendor to help guide some of these conversations, or, you know, we're your partner as well. So I think it's like, from a system ownership perspective, have a, not a committee, but you have your partners that you can rely on and lean on to sort of make this job a little bit easier, or, you know, at least take some of the burden off. So it's relying on those partners that you have, you know, established for yourself, which I think is so key. Okay. Anything we want to share on getting IT on our side? How do you sort of go to them and say, we imagine that there are going to be changes in the system all the time. Hey, IT person, I need this tomorrow, whatever the deadline is. Like, other than just having a good rapport, is there anything from a more like mechanical or technical perspective that you think is helpful for them to even be aware of, or just for anyone to keep in mind? Lindsay, let's start with you.
I'd say, again, relying on your vendor and having a good vendor relationship and good documentation to begin with makes IT appreciate you so much more and want to be your friends. And then I think just good communication, you know, being aware of the limited resources, obviously, being aware of people's schedules, knowing the urgency and the business criticality of the change or X thing that you're hoping to do, I think is a good starting point.
So internally, at organizations, you typically have time, because you know there's an upcoming product launch. So you know you're going to have to do this, right? Like, some of this, it's planned. Like, there's strategy, right? Like, there's things going on. So, or, you know, if Vidori is doing a system update, you know, what's being changed. And so one of the best practices is, at a minimum, meet quarterly with your IT person, right? If you're the process owner and they're the system owner, because but you're the main champion for someone like Lindsay to come to, and you're like, hey, Lindsay, I know that we're about to have, you know, products in here that we need to add into our drop down lists, right? Or Lindsay comes to me to say, hey, you know, we're about to launch some new system features. And then you just start that conversation, because what testing has to be done? What's the involvement? When can they squeeze it in? And understand, like Lindsay mentioned, there is a sense of urgency, but it's not a fire drill, right? It's more the fact of, okay, you know, we're putting in this new thing. We know this product's going to launch in June. We need to get it done before then, but you want to have content available before the product goes live, right? So there's, do you hold it, you know, things like that. So the planning, and then it's managing risk. Managing the risk, right, of making sure you're not delaying the business. Now, if need be, you sometimes pull out a card to say, hey, you know, CEO or of this therapeutic area or the vice president to say, hey, I need you to bump this up for me. Sometimes you need to pull in a leadership card. You don't want to, right? And sometimes you do have to pull in those higher up people at an organization. And Lindsay may not see that, but it's just the things that you need to do to move around the internal politics, you know, to say, hey, we know it's important that we're launching this new product. We know that you want to have content out, but we can't move as a group because you have a committee. We can't move as a group until we get IT to do this for us.
Not
saying IT is the bad guy. I mean, we're all
100%,
right?
Like, yes.
But
100%.
You got to pull out the cards.
So I'm hearing aware of the plans and communicating the plans. Communication just in general, in terms of what we think about, like, good characteristics or, you know, best practices, characteristics of a successful system owner. Planning, communication. What else? What else characterizes a successful system owner?
I would say, you know, we hit on some of the key nuggets. So obviously knowledgeable about the process and the system. I think being open to change and comfortable with change, and willing to work through change, because as we know, things are fluid, things are dynamic, it's bound to happen. I think Anne touched on a good one, having someone that's willing to take maybe that escalation or things to that next point if they're really feeling stuck. I know it can be hard, but I think that's a great point that Anne made. What else? Yeah, anything that's like communication oriented, project management focus, a good grasp on the process and the players involved, and knowledgeable about the internal SOPs to make sure that system is aligning with the ultimate goals of the business, I think are all good characteristics of defining a system owner.
Anne, what would you add?
Internally, they also have to be empowered to make those decisions.
It's a great one.
Right. And so, because you can communicate, you can do all that stuff. But if I'm a system owner, and if I can't take a decision on it, like, granted, you have your little committee, right? Like your key stakeholders, and you all work together.
Yeah.
But if that person's not empowered to do that, it's really going to struggle, because then you're waiting for, you know, everybody and their brother to vote on this,
right?
You know, and sometimes you can't, you don't have the time. Right. And so a good system owner will also balance the needs and the wants, right? There's the must haves and the nice to haves. And so sometimes you have to watch, you know, what's going on. Is that feature a must have? Is it a nice to have? Is changing the process a must have, nice to have? You know, are people, you know, so all those things. So there's a balance. And to Lindsay's point, it's the knowledge, right? You got to understand the purpose, the workflow, the who's who in the zoo, and, you know, all of that jazz. But they also have to be empowered to say, you know what, we're not making that change right now. Because right now it's only one therapeutic area. It's not across the board. Let's reach the other groups. Let's find out or whatever. Lindsay, you were saying?
No, and it made me think, I also think someone that's metric oriented, someone that's interested in data, because some of that comes back to looking at what the data is telling us about the story and being able to flex to make changes. So I think having a good data mindset I've seen really pay off in system owners, because then they can add that to their bucket, to their reasoning, to be empowered to make those changes, to look at bandwidth, to look at processes. So I think that's also even an extra little, you know, nugget if you can have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Anne.
And system owners, though, may be, or even process owners, may be the ones reporting the metrics to the larger business mm-hmm. on behalf mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. all the groups.
Yes.
Right. So there may be additional responsibilities that they have as well that are bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all kinds of stuff.
Wow. So much to consider. What would, if someone is becoming a system owner for the first time, what would be one piece of advice that you would give that person?
Understand the process and the system. Understand who has decision-making powers. There's responsibility and there's accountability, and they're different, right? Like if you just think of a basic RACI, and understand what can fall into your camp and find out where your partners are and make good friends with your partners.
Okay. I love it. Lindsay?
Of course, selfishly, I would say lean in on your vendor, lean in on your customer success manager, look to them for best practices, for consultation, for training on the system. All of that stuff, you know, they are here to support you. A good partner will support you. And I see a lot of turnover in system owners and just organizations across the board. There's a lot of coming and goings. So you don't have to be an expert overnight, but definitely use your resources, use your vendors, use your partners, make all the friends that you can, because we're here to help you.
Not selfish at all. I think it's a perfect piece of advice for someone doing it for the first time, is that you don't have to go it alone. There are folks that should be supporting you in this. And, you know, you could imagine someone that, you know, I have to know the process, the SOPs, it could be overwhelming. And so I think leaning on a partner is absolutely a great piece of advice to share. So I think I couldn't ask for a better way to close out the conversation today. We potentially could have an additional one on system ownership. I think there's things that we could dig into deeper, but for now, let's end the conversation here. And Lindsay, thank you so much for joining. What a great conversation today. Just love to get dual perspectives on this. And I think it'll be super helpful for those that are maybe embarking on this for the first time or have been doing it for years.
No, thank you.
Thank you. It's great to see you.
And everyone, the conversation doesn't stop here. Please follow Vidori on LinkedIn for updates on new episodes, join in the conversation, ask us questions. We would love to hear from you and your feedback on the show. You can subscribe to Amend and Progress on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, this is Annalise signing off for Amend and Progress. Have a fantastic day.